Lord. Good morning, church. It's such a great pleasure for me to be your miss this morning. I am glad, I am excited, I rejoice at what God is doing in your midst. I know God is working wonders. Great things are happening in your midst, and I'm glad to be a part of it this morning. I appreciate you all. I love you all. And I love your auditorium. I must commend, it's very beautiful. I appreciate it. It's a lovely place of worship. Thank God for the provisions. Thank God for everything He's doing and He will do. Thank you, Pastor Zach. I am glad for what God is doing with you. I really appreciate God's grace and mercy upon you, and I pray that God will take you to the end in the name of Jesus. You will not fall short of all that God has for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we want to thank you this morning. We exalt you. We adore you because you are merciful. You are great. I thank you, God Almighty, for your children. Thank you for bringing them to church this morning. Thank you for the reason for which you have brought them together. Father, I thank you for this assembly. Thank you for your love, your mercy in their midst, for your power. Lord, I pray, God Almighty, that this morning you will bless us. You will bless everyone that is here to this morning. Lord, you will cause them to go higher. You will cause them to be able to take a journey further into you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Cause us to have entrance into your pasture. Lord, let us see your heart this morning. Let's see your mind, that we may be able to do it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Like I said, I'm excited to be in your midst this morning. And I really enjoyed the praise and worship, especially the song that Pastor sang last. Bid me to come, and I will come. Hallelujah. Bid me to come. And that's exactly what God is doing now. God is bidding us to come to Him. Hallelujah. The reason we got born again in the first instance is to be able to close the gap between man and God. The reason for the new birth, the reason you got born again, is so that you can come to God. You know why? Because we have all, as sheep, we have all done what? We have gone astray. Everyone has gone in his own way. We have strayed away. Hallelujah. Every man strayed away from God. Bible says no one is looking for God. No, let's read it. That's Romans chapter. Oh, thank you. Oh, okay. Isaiah quoted it first, Abby. Romans. Paul now repeated it in Romans. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to what? His own way. Every man to his own what? His own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Give me Romans. Every man has gone his own way. His own what? Way. His own way. His own way. And your own way will take you far from God. Our ways have taken us far. You've now gotten that. Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. Paul quoted it, but he said more. That's not it. Romans chapter 3. Okay. Okay. As it is written, There is none righteous, no, not one, yes. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Yes, continue. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That was a state of man. That is the state of the unregenerated man. The recreated man, the man that is in Christ Jesus, is born again for one thing, to go contrary to this. The reason you were quickened in your spirit is so that you can reverse this order. Hallelujah. Now, nobody can come to God except he's born again. Hallelujah. Nobody has ability to come to God except you are born again. When you got born again, your spirit got quickened and you got united, reunited to God. When the spirit died in Eden, there was a separation from God. And that separation now caused the soul to stray because the soul of man learned another way. And that way, he didn't just learn it on his own. Somebody taught him. The person who engineered the death, the separation of the spirit in the first place, had an agenda. He didn't just want the spirit to die. He wanted man to go far from God and for man to become unprofitable to God. He knew there's no way you can separate man from God except man goes against God's way. It is ways that separates us from God. Hallelujah. So when we get born again and we come to church, what do we come to learn? Ways of coming back to church, to God. The New Testament church must understand something. That there is a place of learning because there is process. I don't just stand in my house and wish I am in the presence of God. I don't know. You know, there are some doctrines flying. May God not allow us to fall into the hands of false doctrines. It's so plain. It will take somebody else to deceive you from what is clearly written. And say that all the scriptures, all the prophets, they prophesied about a way that leads to God. Way. There is a, what do you do with way? You walk in a way. What do we do with way? We walk in the way. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said, in Hebrew, said, come boldly to the throne of grace. He said, you should come boldly. And he specified how to come by a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Come, how do I come? By a way. I come by a way. Praise the Lord. So when I come to church, now I can't locate that way except the way he's taught is opened to me. Because the way is not your way. It's his way. So my way is not your way. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. My way. Now he said, everyone has gone in his own ways, which means we have left his way. And there is just one way. It's God's way. Praise the Lord. So you got born again in your spirit. Your spirit became quickened. It became alive so that you can locate the way of the spirit. A dead spirit cannot comprehend. That's why it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He cannot see. That means he cannot comprehend. He cannot understand. He cannot locate the way of the kingdom. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. So you got born again so that you can find your way back to God. Now, when you got born again in your spirit, like I said, your spirit got quickened. It got united. Said, he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. One spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. So you got reunited with the Lord in your spirit. You got what? Reunited. You became one with him. In your spirit, said, by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. It is your spirit that is the body of Christ that joins into one body. We were baptized into what? One body. The spirit and the spirit of Christ became united, became one. So your spirit is Christ. Let's read Romans. Is it Romans now? No. Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We need to understand we are in a days where people need to hurry into knowledge of God because deceivers are filling everywhere. People who are not schooled in the knowledge of God. People who have not been led by the Spirit. Because it takes leading of the Spirit to be able to discern scriptures accurately. Check that you lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. But if there is no leading, there is no acquisition of righteousness. You don't know what is right except you have been led. So a lot of people are getting up and coming to preach to the church without being led. It is in the spirit. You detonate, you decode truth by spirit. Because spirit is truth. Truth is spirit. First Corinthians chapter 12. Let me see which verse that is. Okay. Verse 12. Are we there? For as the body is one, and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Did you hear what I said? So also is what? Christ. Christ. Christ is one body, but has many members. Now, let's look at it. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but what? Many. So, when you got born again, what happened to you? Your spirit was baptized into the body of Christ. Your spirit was what? Baptized into the body of Christ. So you became one with him. You are one. You are the body of Christ. Your soul is the church. Did you understand what I'm saying? Your soul is the church. That is the soul that Christ is going to marry. The church. Eh? So he said, he is what? Christ is the head of the church. Eh? And what is he doing to the church? He's nourishing. Let's read it. That should be Peter. Is it not Peter? That talks about husband and wife. Eh? Ephesians. Give me that. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Head of the church, and is the savior of the body. Head of the church, savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let all the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without what? Blemish. Did you see that?
Yes.
Are you seeing the difference?
Yes.
Now, the spirit is without blemish.
Yes.
Why? Bible says, put on the new man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. So your spirit, when it got born again, it was recreated after God in righteousness and true holiness. So the spirit does not have blemish, does not need cleansing. The spirit was recreated holy and righteous. That's the nature of the new man. So the Bible says, put on that new man. Put it on. He said, put off the old man. The old man is the spirit that was crucified with Christ. For Romans chapter 6 tells us that. Let us read it. Let's see scriptures. So that it will be difficult for you to be deceived when you see these things laid down in scriptures. Then you know that there is work to be done in the church. And what the Lord is doing in his church is that he wants to cleanse it. He wants to cleanse it. He wants to clean it so that it will not have spot or wrinkle. He wants to present to the church to himself, a glorious church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, put off concerning the former conversation. Put it off. That is, after you got born again, you can still put on the old conversation. Where is conversation? It's in the soul. Conversation, ways, lifestyle is in the soul. So a new man, a brother can be born again and is living like an old man. Because he has not unlearned the conversation, the former conversation, the imprint of that. Let's look at Romans. Romans will explain it very well. We'll come back to this. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Go to verse. Let's read from verse 1. Shall we say then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yes, continue. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Yes. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should do what?
Walk.
What are you supposed to do?
Walk.
Now that you are what? Raised together with him. Why? Because that man that was raised is a new person. He has a new conversation. And that new conversation is what they call newness of life. There's a new life that your spirit came into. And that life has its own conversation, has its own light, has its own ways. When there's a change of person, there ought to be a change of ways. Now, you don't come into that change of ways except you learn it. Even so, we should do what? Walk in the newness of what? Life. Continue. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Yes, continue. Knowing this, that our what? Old man is crucified with him. The old man, that dead spirit, is called the old man. And the old man has his ways. Our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. You see, that old man was body, is a factory, manufacturer of sin. He churns out sin. Push, push, push. So over the years, the soul has learned the ways of the old man. So when you now get born again, say, what did they do to that old? They didn't refurbish it all. They removed it. They crucified the old man. They removed it, pata pata, and God now gave birth to a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Say, for our old man, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from what? Sin. Now, Ephesians now said, put on, oh yeah, let's go back to that Ephesians, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. Are you saying the Bible calls it, Romans called it the body of sin. It's a sin manufacturer, factory, where sin is. Everything about the old man is sin. He's Satan. He's a child of hell. The only thing he can do is to do sin. Hellish. The old man is hellish. That's why when you see a guy, he's looking very handsome, he's touche, he's got the swag, he smells well, drives a nice car, he's hellish on his inside if he's not born again. That's who he is, he's hellish. That's why the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. You don't have anything doing with an unbeliever. Somebody who is not born again, in his inside, he's got the body of sin. He might be 6 feet tall, have all the nice trimmings, see, you understand? And he's got his swag. That's in his inside, he's hellish. And when you marry him, you go into hell. Yeah, because the only thing he can do is not his fault. The only thing he can do is to churn out hell. He's got hell on his inside. Hell comes out of him every day. He tries to do good, he cannot. There's hell trapped on his inside. So it's not good for you. Say, oh, don't worry, I'll change him. Where are you God? Except a man be born again. Hell does not leave him. All. You understand? So it says, put on the Ephesians. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's the old man. He's corrupt. He's a corrupt man. You know, corruption is not just that you stole government money. Eh? That's not corruption. Corruption is that which decays. Is that man is meant only for destruction. And he has conversation that leads only to destruction. So that man is the one that taught the soul. The ways. The soul is a custodian of the ways of that old man. So when you got born again, it is time now to teach the soul another way. Continue. The next verse. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, new creation reality has taught us renewal of the mind as meditating scriptures and confessing scriptures. It's more than that. No, you carry scriptures and say, I'm the head, I'm not the tail, I shall be this, I shall not be that, I am healed, I am not sick, it is good at some point. But to get ways communicated to the soul, it takes more than just taking scriptures, meditating, and confessing. You need revelation. You need understanding. You need unveiling of Christ. He's the way. You need to know him. You need to know him. For you to know the way back to God, your soul needs to be tutored. Needs to be washed from his former ways, his old ways. Old ways of the former man, of the old man. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That renewal comes by understanding, comes by knowledge, comes by revelation. The soul has to be flooded with light. Light, knowledge of Christ. That is what changes the soul. Hallelujah. And that's the work God is doing in his church. The head of the church wants to save the soul. Wants to renew the soul. Wants to cleanse the soul from what? Ways. Former conversation. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There is a conversation we had before we got born again. It doesn't automatically go. Somebody put it there. A power did it. An enemy did a work in the soul. That man that tempted, that deceived Adam, that tempted them out of God to say, did God say? He had an agenda. He didn't stop when Adam finished. He stayed with them to teach them ways that will make them completely unprofitable. He tempted them. He led them until they forsook God completely. The Bible says, and Cain journeyed away from the presence of the Lord. What do you think made him to do that? Somebody continued to convince him, don't stay where God says you should stay. This God, if you stay, you will just be swagbe, you will be mumu, you will not lay on your own, you can't, come. Your own way, your own way. He continued to teach man another way. Want me to prove it to you? Let's read Ephesians. We'll come back to this. Chapter 2. Give me the verse that talks about wherein in time past we walked. Wherein in time past ye walked. Are you seeing walk? The walk of time past. The former conversation, the former walk. There's a walk we had before we got born again. Let's see how that walk comes to being. Wherein we walked, ye walked in time past, according to the course of this world. Who crafted it? The Bible calls Satan the God of this world. He's the creator of that thing called this world. It's not the bricks that you see that is this world. The system, the values, the ways of the world, the thinking pattern, it was crafted by someone. And he taught us to walk in it. So your soul is not just holding something. It's holding something that was taught, handed down by spirit. We walked how? According to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. So who engineered the course of this world? He's a prince. He's not a demon. He's not a Ogbanje spirit. All those ones are, they are just to deviate you from the real thing. The course of this world, and the course of this world is according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is he? The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience is a spirit. As long as you are on the course of this world, who is dictating it? Who is dictating your work? It's a spirit. You are under the influence of that prince. And the only thing he wants to do is to ensure disobedience. Is to enforce disobedience. To make sure that you don't ever locate the path of life. Because by the time you begin to locate the path of obedience, you are going back to life. When he's leading you in disobedience, where is he leading you to? Death. He didn't stop with Adam in the garden. He didn't stop with, did God say that you should not eat this thing? He came to make God a liar and told them, God is lying. Don't listen to him. He knows that. Can you imagine that kind of blood? Have you ever seen people like that? They have an intention. And they will come and bring deliberate lies. And by the time he says that, like to appeal to your heart, don't mind God. If Satan can do it, then when human beings do it, don't be too surprised. Don't mind God. He knows that the day you eat, he knows that this fruit that he's telling you not to eat, he knows that when you eat it, he's capable of making you wise. You will be like God. And what they wanted to be like is God. And God actually wanted them to be like him in the first place. It's just that he has his own process. God has process. God has order. Satan is lawless. And lawlessness does not get the job done. The original intention of God for man is that you will be like him. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion. And he created man and put him in the garden and put the tree of life in the garden so that when he eats the tree of life, he will become like God. But Satan did not want that. Instead, he planted his own tree. Knowledge of God said, that God, he doesn't want you to be like him. He lied. He knows that the day you eat it, you will be wise. He's able to make somebody wise. And then you will be like God. You know all things like him. Eat it another way. The way is eat the tree of life. Satan said, don't mind him. Don't eat it. Eat this one. So he continued like that. And he still does that today. When God puts you on a path that he wants you to go back to him, the devil will say, if you take this path, let's look for another way to quickly reach God, Joe. So he engineers this way so that you can walk in it. Let's finish reading that Ephesians chapter 2 that we're reading. Yes, continue after that verse. Among whom we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature. Continue. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, this was our life. But something happened, but God. Mercy came, and the story changed. But God, who is rich in mercy, for this great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us, the beginning of changing ways. Ways cannot change except a quickening comes. Had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In where? He quickened us at the beginning. That spirit that died, he raised it. Why? Because a new work wants to commence. And that's the beginning of the work. Continue. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches. Are you seeing? He is thinking of ages to come, but he went to start. From where? The quickening of the spirit. The journey is far. The quickening of the spirit is just the beginning of the journey to the ages to come. Hallelujah. He's going somewhere. But he started from somewhere. That in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Continue. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, the gift of God, yes. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at this one. For what? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Unto what? Unto what? Unto what? Which God had before ordained. That we should do work. That we should do work. That we should do work. Who is doing the walking? Is it the spirit? No, it's the soul. They said to the soul, walk in the spirit. That is, walk after the life that is in your spirit. Walk according to the dictates of the laws that operate in your spirit. Walk after the nature of your new man. He had what? They created us in Christ. He said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So your spirit has been recreated in Christ Jesus so that you can now walk. Another walk that they have before the foundation of the earth, this is the kind of walk that man was ordained to. to walk in. This is the way man was originally ordained to walk. We are his workmanship. What is workmanship? This is somebody's workmanship. This is somebody's workmanship. This is somebody's workmanship. This is somebody's workmanship. This thing was created for something, for a purpose. Abi? This is created for a purpose. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. The reason he got you born again is for good works, which God had before. When they say before, it's before man was formed. When the thought of making man came to his heart, he had already ordained that man will walk in a particular way. He has been foreordained to walk in a particular way. And that way is will bring good works. The end of that way will take man back to glory. For they who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. Patient continuance in well-doing. These good works take us somewhere. So the church, what Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is doing with his church now, is to teach the church how to do good works, how to walk in their foreordination. There is an ordination. There is that which you have been ordained for, is good works. Now you cannot produce good works except you learn. Except you be filled with knowledge. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You were ordained unto good works. See a church that is learning how to walk well. See a church that will be strong. See a church that will be powerful. Because when you are walking in those, you are walking in power. That is power. Because nothing produces good works except the knowledge of Jesus. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. It is what? Power. Unto salvation. It is unto salvation. Who do they want? Not just salvation of the spirit, which happens when the spirit got born again. After the spirit is saved, there's still plenty salvation for the man that is born again. And it is still by the gospel, by the preaching of Christ. The soul gets born again because you believe in that Christ died. I mean, the spirit got born again. Once the soul gets born again, as you continue to preach Christ to the soul, that's the second verse that the Bible, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He gets born again to see. He now said, except a man be born, there's another birth. Except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter. He cannot what? Enter. So the spirit gets born again by believing. The soul gets born again by learning. Learning and doing. Learning and doing. He gets born. And as he's born, he's changed. He's converted until he becomes like the spirit. He becomes a spirit himself. When you got born again, your soul is still flesh. It's carnal. Yes. It's the soul that is carnal. Paul said, when I came to you, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. It's the soul. But as unto what? Babe, carnal. As unto babes in Christ. Babes is the soul that is a baby. Is the soul that matures. Is the soul that grows. Is the soul that becomes a son. We must not, the head of the church, what is he doing to the church? It's very clear. That he might do what? He might cleanse it. If cleansing is not going on and somebody is telling you, transport yourself from here to heaven, what are you going to do there? You are not compatible with that place. Your soul is not compatible with where you can't dwell there. It's not a place for sinners to dwell. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall ascend? You know, pastor was ministering somewhere. He was going to minister as I sat down about the hill of the Lord, the most holy hill. He was talking about Zion and Olivet, the most holy hill of the Lord. As I sat down, the Spirit of God just breathed in my spirit. He said, it is a soul that climbs the hill of the Lord, and we climb by commandment. A soul that is not changing cannot approach God. That is what I'm saying. The soul must be changing. The reason for that journey, for that walk, as the soul is walking by commandment, is acquiring a different form, a different nature that is compatible with God. Why did the Spirit sit? Immediately the Spirit was born again. Because it was created in righteousness and true holiness. The Spirit has already the nature of the throne, so it can sit. So for me not to be changed, and you are telling me I should ascend to the throne and go and sit there, they will send me away. I am not compatible. You don't understand. Is it astral traveling you want to do? You want to do astral traveling? No. Those who do astral traveling, they don't go to God. They go to another realm. And it's an outlaw. It's a spiritual outlaw. The way to approach God is by Jesus Christ. It's by preaching of the gospel. The Lord kept telling me, he said, the soul, salvation of the soul is key to the manifestation of the sons of God. There is a work that they have ordained the soul. Instead of you teaching the church the work that they are supposed to work, you are teaching them how to fly to go and meet God. As who? A soul that has not acquired life. How do you mount? My brother, Ephesians says it, that Jesus Christ, please let's read it again. I think we should read it. The church, I told you, the church is a soul. It's a soul that pastor. You don't pastor anybody's spirit, because the spirit is Christ. You pastor the soul. It's the flock. That's the flock of God. He said, take heed to yourself and the flock that God, that the Holy Ghost has made you overseer of. What do you do to them? You feed them. You feed. You feed the flock. The soul is the one that needs feeding. Onje must eat. And their food is Christ, because he's the bread of life. You feed them with any other thing, they remain babies, kwashokod. They will be weak. Weak to take a journey to heavenward. Our journey is heavenward. But we don't fly there. We go there by changing. We go there by learning. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? What is he doing with the church? He's the head of the church. What is he doing? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. How do you sanctify the church? Washing, except a man be born of water and of the spirit. This is how they born you. Washing. What is Christ doing to his church? He's washing it. Abel, wash me. Say, God, wash me. Wash me. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is the head of the church doing with his church now? Why does he want to wash them? Let's continue. Why? That he might, yes. The next verse. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Who has blemishes? The soul. Who has spots? Who has wrinkles? Who is the truth meant for? Speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, even Christ, which is the head. The head. What he is made up of is what he will feed the church with, to give him the same stature that he has. For we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and truth. He's full of grace and truth. That's the stature he has. He's a stature of grace and truth. So the church, for the church to come to his level, why didn't you marry Silifa, a pepper seller? Can she be wife of the pastor of this church? What will your conversation look like? Say, Pastor, I want to church. In mon coton se won. Emi oraye gbe ti esin o. Kilo se won. You know she can be born again. But the soul is completely cannot manage this church. So also Christ. He can't marry the church when the church is silly for a latter. And the head is the bright and the morning star. Is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. Is exuding conversations of immortality. The church is exuding conversation of the earth. Are they compatible? What are the key things in marriage? Compatibility, Abby. Compatibility. Your souls must be compatible. When I met my husband, it's like we have known ourselves for years. It's like our conversation was the same. Why? He was in the north, I was in the south. But we're feeding on Hagen together. So we acquired the same conversation in the spirit. So when we are talking, it's like we have known ourselves. It's like we have been in the same fellowship for a long time together. No friction as to issues concerning spirit matters. No. We don't have confusion in that one. There's no confusion. And then because he knew mother and I am the wife, to follow him, in fact, the Lord told me, hear him. If you want to see what these things that he's doing, that he's saying, he said, hear him. He said, hear him. Hear. So to follow, I believe him, everything he says, I believe him. You don't understand me? I said, God told me, hear him. Because when he came, he was teaching me this survey. I knew milk, word of faith. But he had gone higher. And I was ready for something more. So he came, and the first thing he said, woman of God, said God told me that you are hungry for something. So for a particular kind of word. I said, Benny, it's true. I'm hungry. He said, God said I should teach you. Then he started teaching me, opened my eyes to glory, to the expectation of the head of the church. And I was wondering, how can these things be? I was asking God, are these things possible? The Lord said, yes, it is possible. I said, how? He said, hear him. You think I'm foolish? You think I'm foolish? The Lord told me, hear him. And as I have been hearing him, I have been changing. If somebody comes to you and does not tell you how to morph, you know metamorphosis, from lava to what do you become? Pupa. From pupa to what? Imago, or what do you call it? It is imago. That can stand in God's presence. It's not lava. They now tell you are in the state of lava and nobody is doing anything about your lava state. And he's telling you from that lava state, go to the presence of God. For where? You don't have wings to get there. Jesus is looking for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He's looking for, and for him, for the church to be presented, that is what the head of the church is looking for God's sake. We must know the agenda of the head. We must know his heartbeat, his heart desire, his will. If I don't know his will, I can't journey. I can't journey. He wants to present the church to himself. Holy. What can make you holy? His truth. He has provided things to make you holy. Those things must be spoken to you. They must be preached to you. The truth washes you clean. That's the emphasis of the Spirit of God to the church. That ye be washed from your sins. This is the church, so it's not unbeliever. Some people said, you know, I heard something. Somebody said, that confessing your sins is they were talking to that if we confess our sins, if we say we don't have sins, we are liars, and the truth is not in us. So somebody now said that somebody preached that confessing sins is for unbelievers because that First John was being written to unbelievers. That's a big lie. First John, ordinary Christian that got born again today cannot comprehend First John. Talk less of unbeliever. He's not writing to ordinary believers. Don't let people who don't know Bible confuse you. First John, the more you look, the less you see. First John, do you know where that guy was when he was writing? That which was from the beginning. Eh? When you got born again, what did you know about that which was from the beginning? Do you hear it? Which we have heard. Which we have seen. And our eyes looked on. And our hands handled of the word of life. Have you handled it? Even me, I never handled. Even me, I've not handled it. I'm just managing to look upon it now for the purpose of handling. I'm beginning to hear the conversation of the beginning. After how many years of being born again? I've been born again before many of you were born physically. It's now. You think I'm lying? I got born again 1983. How many of you were born 1983? It's now I am beginning to hear I'm learning the conversation of the beginning. That which was from the beginning. It's now they are introducing it to me. I couldn't have handled it when I was born again. If they say it, I will run away. What was in the beginning? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, and we looked upon, and our hands now handled of the word of life. He said, we now declare that to you. You can't declare such to babies. You not talk less of unbeliever. He now said, after that, if we say we have no sin, including himself, we lie, and the truth is not in us. He said, no, he's writing to an unbeliever. He said, if we who heard the conversation of the beginning. We make him a liar. You know why? When the conversation of the beginning is being spoken to you, it reveals your sins. It reveals your shortcomings. When Christ is being revealed, unveiled, your sins will be revealed. He's a revealer. He's a discerner. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. He said to the dividing asunder of a what? Of soul and spirit. He's a discerner of the intent and the thoughts of the heart. And that is how God is going to judge man. Say, Paul said, God will judge men by my gospel. He will judge the thoughts of men's heart by my gospel. My gospel is a yardstick, is a judgment. Things need to be spoken to the soul, and those things are truths. Speaking the truth in love may grow. When the soul is growing, it means the soul is changing. It's conforming to the image of Christ. It's conforming to the image that can sit on the throne. Jesus said, he that overcometh, I will make him to sit on my throne. Even as I overcame and I'm set. Have you overcome? So why are they telling you to go to the throne and go and be sitting there? God does not want to make you a visitor to the throne. He wants to make you an abider. Someone who will sit. And Jesus said there is a process to sitting. You have to overcome. How do I overcome? This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. How do I overcome? The just shall live by faith. Faith, faith, faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live, that means the just shall walk by faith, that is by that which is revealed. The lifestyle, the walk of the righteous is according to that which is revealed. In closing, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. When I come to church, I come to learn how to walk. I come to learn how to close the gap between man, me and God. There is a process of closing the gap. It's not by wishing it. If wishes were horses, beggars we ride. I like to go to the throne. Do I like to be as meek as Jesus, as a lamb? I wish I can go to the throne. But the people sitting on the throne is the meekest on earth. Not on earth, in heaven and on earth. Moses was the meekest man on earth. That's why he could enter. They told him, come to the holy. You don't need to bring blood. All those things that blood is seeking to achieve, they have achieved it. They have tattooed it in Moses. Even Aaron, the high priest, before he can enter the holy of holies, he goes there. Are we not thinking? Even the holy of holies on earth, before Aaron can appear there, he can only go there once in a year. And he goes there with rituals, and he dare not make a mistake. That is the one on earth. Oh, they are not telling you with your lava state of soul that you just fly to the... Who born you? Where are you coming from? Where are you going? Moses, why was Moses able to enter? The Lord told Moses, anytime you want to come, come. But they described Moses the meekest man on earth. How did he achieve that? Salvation, journeying. They spoke Moses to that state. He became the meekest man on earth. Jesus, he shows us an example of who can enter, who can sit on the throne. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and I am low. Those are qualities of sitting on the throne. Have they achieved that one in you already? All lowliness, walk worthy of your vocation, with all meekness, all lowliness. Who are they telling to be low? He is the soul. The soul is one that is high-minded only. Emire. Like that, you want to enter. You know, it's that boldness that is even making man think that he can go to the presence of God like that. Man is too bold. You approach God with trembling and with fear. It's a consuming fire. His eyes are too holy to behold iniquity. That's why he wants to sanctify you and purify you and remove spots and wrinkles, so when he sees you, he's not seeing iniquity. It's important. Iniquity must go from the church. Our God is holy. Our God, he said that he might present and make the church holy. Be holy as I am holy. It's the soul they are talking to. Don't negate process. Don't negate process. Don't be in a hurry to fly to the sky. Rather, you know my hurry now. My hurry is, I am in a hurry to change. I am in a hurry to take another form. I want my soul to morph from flesh to spirit faster than it is. You know how long it takes you to obey an instruction? And that is how long it's taking you to go to God. Those instructions are meant to bring you close. As you obey them, you change. Your outlook changes. Your values change. Your judgment changes with those instructions. Colossians chapter 1. I'm sure my time is up. From verse 9. Colossians 1 from verse 9. Hallelujah. Amen. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to desire. Everybody say desire. Desire. This should be our strong passion now. Desire. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is the beginning of another walk. You can't walk except you come to this place. To be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Who wants to understand the soul? You remember, no one understand it. No one seeketh after God. No, everybody has God in his own way. You need another kind of understanding to embark on another kind of work. What does this produce? That is semicolon. By reason of this, the next verse. That ye might do what? Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being what? Fruitful in every good work. And what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you seeing something? That ye might be filled with all what? With the knowledge of what? The will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What's the reason for that? So that you can walk. Walk. What do you walk? The beginning of good work comes with the knowledge of his will. Wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that you can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful, you remember, for ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had ordained that you should walk in them. Now you can't fulfill that ordination except this one takes place. The knowledge of his will kickstarts the beginning of a worthy walk. Walking worthy of the Lord. Your ordination will not be able, you will not be able to come to that which is ordained for you except you are filled with the knowledge of his will. So they want to educate your soul with the knowledge of God. The soul is ignorant. The soul is dark. After you got born again, you need light in your soul. It is by that light the soul is educated. After another order, the order of Christ, which is the order of the new man, the new spirit. You need to be tutored in that order. And as you are being tutored, you are walking. As you are walking, you are changing. You are walking worthy. You are walking in ordination. That which God ordained before the world began, you place your feet on that path of ordination. And that walk leads to no other place but to God. Thou shalt show me the path of life. Thou shalt do what? The path of life. For in your presence, which means the path of life leads me to where? Your presence. For in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. But how will I discover the path of life? They have to show me because I don't know it. How do they show me? By revelation. Revelation, path of life is God's way. Who are they showing? The spirit knows the path of life. That's why when you get born again and you take a step out of the path of life, your spirit will withdraw and say, I'm not part of this. True or false? Because that spirit is a way. In that spirit is the way of God constructed. If you were lying before you got born again, when you lie after you get born again, then you sleep very well. Do you? If you are truly born again, you will confess, you will repent for 5 days. Wait, is it a lie? If you were fornicating before you got born again, when you bear that, the way you know that you are born again, try fornicating. You will cry, you will weep, you will do, you will wrong, you will want to atone for your sin. I beg you, it will be so painful to you. You will be so pained. You will be so sorrowful. You will be so sad. If you see food, you won't want to eat. You have told God you are sorry. Oh, is it a lie? Because there's a new man on your inside. It's no longer compatible. The soul can still churn out those old ways, but there will be conflict every day. Ijanisha. They have introduced something into your system that is holy, that is righteous. So his fight is warring with the soul. The soul is lawless, is unruly, does not even know the way of life. So they need to show me the path of life. Thou shalt show me the path of life. For in your presence, what do I do with path? I walk in it. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. So when I'm beginning to walk another walk, it takes me gradually to God's presence. And then I become an abide. By the time I arrive at God's presence, I have fully changed to be like him. Because if you walk, you will change. If you walk, as you walk, that you change. You arrive. By the time you are arriving at his presence, you are an abider. You are ready to abide. But without showing me the way, which is by revelation, you are telling me, go to his presence now. Yeah, let's go. Let's go and have lunch there. Let's go and have dinner in God's presence. Ah. I don't know. People are spiritual, though. People are very spiritual. They can just zoom like that and just go to God's presence with all their malice, all their hatred, all their bitterness stored in the soul. You are taking a journey to God's presence. And they tell you it doesn't matter. No, it matters. The head of the church, it matters to him. That's what he's doing to his church. He wants to present the body to himself. Holy. Holy. Without blemish. Without blemish. Let's begin to thank him.